while a sermon can inspire you, it can't change you. And it certainly can't move a mountain that you need moved in your life.
Dr. Tony Evans says that requires prayer, a prayer that grows out of genuine faith.
To put faith in God means that you must put faith in God's word, God's will, and God's character.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Just when you think you've jumped over all the obstacles between you and spiritual victory, you come face to face with something that seems unmovable and unbeatable. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains why you shouldn't let a little thing like a mountain stop you.
Would you turn your Bibles, please, to Mark 11, verses 20 to 26. Chapter 11, verse 20 reads, As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against someone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Mountains in the Bible are used in a number of ways. First of all, there is the physical mountain, but also in the Bible, mountain also refers to kingdoms. The kingdom of God is called a mountain. The kingdom of Satan is called a mountain. And the kingdom of men is called a mountain. It's referring to a rule over a sphere. The word mountain is used of that. The third way that the word mountain is used in the Bible, as it is used in this passage, is for an unovercomable situation. A situation that looms so large, you can't move it by yourself, and you don't even know anybody who can help you move it. It's just too big. You can't get over the hump. Some obstacle that looms large in your life to which you need divine help to move. That's a mountain. And so Jesus wants to talk about moving a mountain. So give your mountain whatever name that applies. There's a mountain of cancer. There's a mountain of other illnesses. There's a mountain of debt. We use the phrase, I'm in a mountain of debt. That is, you can't see in your lifetime being able to bring things in financial order. There is a mountain of depression. This thing won't go away and you want it to go away, but it won't disappear. You call it what it is. They're relational mountains. No matter how hard you try to fix it, there just looks no hope for this thing to be able to be fixed. Those are mountains. Obstacles in your way that loom too large for you to handle on your own. And you don't even know anyone who can help you. In this passage today, Jesus talks about moving mountains. And it is introduced by a fig tree. Peter says to Jesus, verse 20, the fig tree that you cursed yesterday has withered today from the root up. You pronounced a curse yesterday. We came out here today, and what you said yesterday not only has happened today, but it is super happened. Because it is withered not only with the fig part, but it is withered from the root up. So whatever you said has completely reversed this situation. That is the context. Now the question we have to answer is, Why does the issue of moving mountains come up with the discussion about a fig tree? Well, to understand that, we have to go back a few verses. And if you go back in chapter 11 to verse 12, on the next day when they had left Bethany, he, Jesus, became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples were listening. So let's rewind. Peter says in verse 20, "The fig tree you cursed yesterday has withered from the root up." So when we go back to yesterday, we find in verse 12, Jesus is hungry. And Jesus wants to get something to eat. He looks and he sees a fig tree in leaf. That is, the leaves were out. When the leaves are out on a fig tree, that means there are figs. The leaves are the external validation that figs are on the tree. Jesus, being hungry, goes over to the fig tree in leaf to get figs. We're also told it was not the season for figs. So the tree is showing fig leaf when it's not even the season for figs to grow. So Jesus sees something out of the norm and goes over in his humanity because he's hungry. But when he goes over, he discovers there are leaves with no figs. There are leaves with no figs. Let me put it another way. There is an external reality with no internal reality. There is external show with no internal meaning. There is the look of figs without the reality of figs. There is the fake of figs without the genuine reality of figs. In other words, the fig tree was a deception. It was trickery. It was deceiving. Because when you looked at it, it looked real. But when you came up on it, there was no reality inside of it, because there were no figs. So Jesus curses the fig tree. He says, "Because you are a deceiving tree, I'm hungry. You gave me the visible impression you could feed me. When I came over, there was nothing but a good look, but no substance. And so I'm going to curse your external activity because of the absence of an internal reality." That is the situation of the fig tree yesterday. So today, Peter is just awed by, not only did he curse it, but it's withered from the root up. That's because of yesterday, the fake fig tree looking the part with no reality. However, between the fig tree yesterday and the fig tree today, there is a story. Let's look at the story to tie the 2 days of the fig tree together. It says in verse 15, between the 2 fig tree events, Jesus comes to Jerusalem, enters the temple. He drives out those who were buying and selling in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a robber's den"? Follow me now. On yesterday, Jesus was hungry, and he went to a fig tree that looked like it was real, but when he got up close, there were no figs, there was no reality. The following day, he goes to church, the temple, and where he should have found folk worshiping God, where he should have found folk praying to God, where he should have found folk living for God, he found fake religion, not the real thing. Now, it was in the right building because it was in the temple. It had the right folk because there were the priests, but it didn't have spiritual reality. They were shucking and jiving in church. They were playing religion in church. They had the leaves, and the leaves should have meant you should find God here. You should find his presence here. You should find his power here. But when Jesus showed up, all they were doing were playing games in the house of the Lord. There was no reality to their religion. You see, religion without reality is leaf without life. Religion without reality is leaf without substance. You can look the part, but when we get up close and peer close, there is no spiritual life, spiritual reality. You see, between the fig tree yesterday and the fig tree today is the temple story. And in the temple story, which is Jesus' major point, is you're supposed to be reality, but all I see is Christian leaves. I don't see the Spirit of God, the power of God, the presence of God. All you're doing is trying to make money. All you're doing is having programs. All you're doing is activity that has absolutely nothing to do with spiritual reality. You got fake church going on. So the point of the figs was to talk about fake church. The point of the figs was to talk about the absence of spiritual reality and the delusion that was taking place because it was all happening in the temple. You see, you can be in church but not have figs. You can look the part, carry the Bible, sing the song, preach the sermon, but when Jesus gets up close and looks for real life, real power, real presence, real Christianity, all he sees is Christian leaves with no substance. That is what was taking place.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell us what the Lord says his house should and shouldn't be. Stay with us.
The Tony Evans Study Bible. The what, you ask? Filled with devotionals, articles, questions and answers, and so much more, Dr. Evans brings a perspective no other author ever has to the Word of God with his unique voice and powerful insights. Featuring inspirational articles, questions and answers, videos and more, Dr. Evans explains God's Word in a fresh, relevant way. Get yours today.
The quickest way to do that is to visit TonyEvans.org. And while you're there, don't forget to request your copy of Tony's current series called Igniting Kingdom Prayer, a look at how to bring heavenly power to bear on our earthly problems. For the next few days, we are offering this brand new 12-CD collection as our gift when you make a contribution to help support the ministry of the Urban Alternative. Along with it, we'll send you Tony's new book, Praying Through the Names of Jesus. It uncovers the deep meaning behind the many ways the Lord is referred to in the Bible, walks you through specific prayers, and gives you room to journal your own thoughts and prayer requests. Don't miss out on this special double offer, only available through Friday. Get the details and make the arrangements today at TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are ready 24/7 to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Let's get back to our teaching time now. Here's Dr. Evans.
He goes on to say, when he quotes the Old Testament, "My house shall be known as a house of prayer." Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say it should be a house of preaching. He doesn't say it should be a house of singing. He says the main thing that should be going on in my house, it should be a house of prayer. Because when you preach, no matter how good the sermon may be, 7 days from now, you're getting a new sermon because you forgot the one last week. In fact, we put up clips so at least you'll remember a little something from last week, because we know you're going to forget what happened from last week. Not only that, but while a sermon can inspire you and a sermon can encourage you, it can't change you, and it certainly can't move a mountain that you need moved in your life. He says, no, my house should be a house of prayer, that the thing that should draw you here is your corporate contact with him, not your human contact with who's ever standing on the podium. He says God must be the center of it, because if God is not the center, you're operating with Christian leaves. You're operating with religious illusion. Religious illusion is like putting on a Superman suit with a cape and thinking you can fly. You've got the appearance, but you're not going nowhere. It has external visual without internal ability to pull off anything you say, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, isn't God good for. The power to pull it off is absent because the figs are missing. Just the leaves are there. It reminds me of the basketball coach, and he was having a great season, and he was in the bathroom shaving, and the phone rang, and his wife went and answered the phone, and she went and told her husband, "Dear, Sports Illustrated is on the phone and they want to talk to you." Well, he started feeling pretty good about himself. He had a great season. He's a well-known coach, and now Sports Illustrated wants to talk to him. Maybe this is a cover story. Maybe they want to do an article on me and my team. So he's now rushing to get to the phone. He needs to finish shaving. He even cuts himself shaving. He wants to get to the phone so quickly. He gets to the phone. He introduces himself. "Yes, this is Coach. Is this Sports Illustrated?" The other end of the line said, "Yes, this is Sports Illustrated, and we wanted to offer you 12 issues for $39.95 over the next year." Peter says to him, "Master, Rabbi, the tree has withered from the root up." I mean, you cursed the tree, but in 24 hours, this whole tree is gone. How could you do this in that short amount of time? Jesus, it says, answers. Now, it's interesting. It says Jesus answered, but technically, Peter didn't ask a question. All Peter said was, "The tree is withered from the root up." Well, that's not a question, that's a statement. But Jesus knew what he was getting at. What Peter was getting at is, how could something that big happen this fast? That's the question. Jesus knew what his question was. Tree is fine yesterday, you cursed it yesterday, it's gone today. How could all that happen in 24 hours? And that's when Jesus now gives him and gives you and me his secret for moving mountains. Things in your life that are too big for you to handle on your own and for anybody else you know to handle for you. He says in verse 22, "Have faith in God." Now, while that may seem like a simple statement, let's unearth that statement. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say have faith in faith. See, a lot of times folk try to whip up more faith. If I only had more faith, if I only had more faith, then maybe more would happen to me. No, you're never called to have faith in faith. You're never called to whip up more faith, generate more faith. If I can get more faith. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, if you have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, uses the word mountain, "Be moved," and the mountain will be moved. He says, and this comes through fasting and prayer. He says, mustard seed faith can work if it's in the right object. Don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in the right object. You know why we don't get to move more mountains? Because the God we put faith in is not the same God of the Bible. We put faith in a false God and then wonder why we're not getting mountain moving experiences. To put faith in God means that you must put faith in God's word, God's will, and God's character. It must be God's will, it must be based on God's word, and it must be consistent with God's character. So if you don't know God's character, you don't look to God's word, and you don't understand God's will, you're not putting faith in the God of the Bible. You're putting faith in the God of your own creation. So that's why God often gets manipulated by people who say, "I'm trusting God," But the God they are trusting is not consistent with the God that is revealed in Scripture. And so that God becomes a manipulative God in the image of man, and we wonder why more supernatural things are not taking place. He says you must have faith in God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, it says, don't boast about your riches. Don't boast about your wisdom. It says, if you're going to boast, boast in this, that you know me. If you expand your understanding of God and put faith in that expanded understanding, you and I will see more of the supernatural operating in the midst of the natural. But as long as you're satisfied with church, as long as you're satisfied with leaf Christianity, as long as you're satisfied, I'm satisfied with small God, then we will not see big mountains being moved. He says, have faith in God. That is God's will, God's word, and God's character. And when you have faith in that God, now we can discuss mountain moving prayers. If you don't have faith in that God, then you're asking the wrong person to move the mountain.
Tony will come back in a moment with a final story to wrap up our time together today. But first, this.
The brand new Tony Evans Study Bible is generating excitement among Christian leaders all over the world, like Anne Graham Lotz.
Years ago, I heard Dr. Evans say that if somebody cut him, he would bleed Bible. And so I think it's very appropriate for someone who loves the Bible, who obeys the Bible, and who preaches the Bible to add his rich commentary to a Bible for all of us to enjoy.
Hillsong's Christine Kane.
Hi, Dr. Evans. We've all been listening to you and repeating what you've been saying for years anyway, so I'm so grateful you put your notes right there in the study Bible to help all of us to communicate better.
And Bishop Kenneth Ulmer from Southern California.
Every now and then, God will release and deposit into a generation a theological mind that has the heart of God, the mind of God. Such is the case with this Tony Evans Study Bible. This Bible will change your life.
The new Tony Evans Study Bible, available now at tonyevans.org.
One reader told us that the commentary is like a novel he couldn't put down. It's deep enough to equip a pastor to preach, but simple and understandable enough to light a fire under a new believer's personal devotions. The Tony Evans Commentary and the Tony Evans Study Bible are the resources you need to get the most out of God's Word. And by the way, they make great Christmas gifts. Again, you can get your copies today at tonyevans.org. While you're there, don't forget to take advantage of the special offer on our current featured resources, Praying Through the Names of Jesus and Tony's brand new series, Igniting Kingdom Prayer. Both yours with our thanks when you contact us by Friday and make a donation to help us keep this listener-supported program on the air. Again, the place to go for details is tonyevans.org or call 1-800-800-3222 for some in-person help. That's 1-800-800-3222. The Bible promises that God will do anything we ask according to His will. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain that God has two different kinds of will and helps us understand how that knowledge should affect the way we pray. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up our program with a final story.
You know, I shared this many years ago. I was asked to go speak in Iowa somewhere, and the way the flights were working, I was not able to get there through commercial planes. And so they were sending a twin-engine Cessna to pick me up. So we worked out the time for them to pick me up in the twin-engine Cessna. I asked my wife, come on and go with me up to Iowa. She says, I'm not going up to no Iowa. I said, why not? She said, I'm not getting in that twin-engine plane. I said, your faith is too small. She said, that's because your plane is too small. What she was saying was, your subject is too small because of the size of your subject, you've decreased the size of my faith. Well, things got rescheduled. We wind up going America or Delta up. She was now willing to go. I said, your faith grew. She said, that's because your plane grew. The size of your object will determine the vitality of your faith. So you've got to, I've got to, we've got to grow our size of God if we want to grow the power of our faith in God.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.